Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 316 of Heroes Unlimited. We are in the Magic Explained section that is going to give us spells and stuff later on, but right now it's just running down the basics of how magic works in the world of Heroes Unlimited. Yesterday we learned about the asshole exam that you have to take to become a wizard, but arrogance, as it turns out, is not quite enough. You also need a resource to cast magic, potential psychic energy, which we've discussed on the podcast before. PPE is a very commonly used resource within the whole Palladium Megaverse, but in Heroes Unlimited, it's pretty much used exclusively by magic characters. This is new for Heroes Unlimited. Back in Revised Heroes Unlimited, wizards cast a number of spells per day, like a Dungeons & Dragons wizard, but now it's PPE, the whole system is standardized with the other Palladium games, and PPE goes a long way, perhaps almost as far as shocking douchebaggery, toward defining what a wizard is. Because, like, with super abilities, that's just your own awesomeness, right? You put on the spandex because you have special powers. You don't rely on anybody else for those special powers. There's no particular limit to those special powers. You just have them and you use them. Psychics, as we talked about, are kind of like hooked into the larger setting because they have ISP, inner strength points, not internal strength points, as I am continually saying on the podcast. I know that is a frustrating error. It frustrates me too. I have to edit these episodes. But yeah, you've got inner strength points, and that's your own mojo, though. It's just that it's amplified if you go stand in one of, you know, the world's awesomest places to stand, like Stonehenge or the top of the Great Pyramid, especially at odd hours. Basically, if there's a place and a time where some guy in a uniform with a flashlight is going to find you and say, you need to come back tomorrow with a regularly scheduled tour group, that's a place you can stand and get vast psychic powers. But they're your psychic powers. They're just amplified. Magic-using characters are on a whole different level. Not only do they have their own mojo, their potential psychic energy, but that shit's transferable, so they can also draw in other people's mojo and use it to cast spells and perform rituals and so on. So PPE, a huge part of what makes a magic user distinct from other types of characters. And that's not just because of the concept of PPE, but also because of how you get it. So on this page, we get a little rundown. First of all, individual potential psychic energy. Kids have fairly a lot of it, like 5d6 points. Teenagers have lots and lots of it, 6d6 points, like a whopping 21 potential psychic energy, because they're at that point in their lives when they still have choices to make and the potential to do something with their lives. Then once they become adults and they've kind of like settled into their routines and gotten married and had a family and really devoted a lot of their free time and creative potential to a daily podcast for some reason, then that potential psychic energy plummets. The average adult human has like 2d6 potential psychic energy, like 7 points of potential is how much an adult has. So the next time you see something on Twitter about how like 40 isn't too late to write a novel, just know, sure, write your novel. You're working with 7 points, but it takes about 5 not to stay home from work every day and just eat Cheetos, so budget accordingly. But anyway, that's regular people. The rules go on to say that if you're a practitioner of magic, rather than squandering your potential psychic energy on work and family and skills, instead, you've harnessed it and multiplied it. You've really reinvested it in your own inflated sense of your own importance, and you're going to have 10 to 40 times as much potential psychic energy as a regular person. But even this may not be enough for you. If you really want to shake things up, if you really want to change the world and cast huge spells and keep up with invulnerable juggernauts and giant mecha, if you want to be so self-important that your ego is a fucking threat to national security and they got to either recruit you to the Avengers or snipe your ass from a distance, then you need PPE from other sources. Now, you can get it from ley lines, you know, as we discussed, just like a psychic, you know, go sneak away from your Bible tour group to the plains of Megiddo and cast a spell at the stroke of midnight on a leap year. But, you know, that's not really sustainable. If I know pompous, ego-driven individuals, and I think that I do, the stroke of midnight every leap year is not enough for you. You need a sustainable, continuous source of power to back up your unshakable belief that you're better than everyone else. Fortunately for you, there are other ways to get PPE. If you can get your hands on one, a magical talisman or artifact would be a great way to do this. These are the enchanted objects and weapons that we talked about earlier in the magic power category. An enchanted object has an average of 160 PPE that recharges daily. So that's great if you can get it. Probably doubles your daily PPE budget. That's great if you can get it, which you can't. It's a separate power category from magic user. So unless your GM really lets you cheese out, like unless you get to play Doctor Strange and also steal the Helm of Naboo, then it's not happening. But if you can do it, by all means. Like, if you can kill a magic supervillain who's got an enchanted helmet and then loot that shit, go for it. Let a D&D game break out in your superhero campaign. Don't be too proud. The bodies may be brightly colored and in better shape, but that doesn't mean you can't fucking loot them. Option number two, the boring option, you can meditate just like a psychic. Speaking of D&D, this is the boring D&D way to get your PPE back once you've spent it. Every hour you meditate counts as an hour of sleep, and it gets you 10 PPE back. By contrast, actually sleeping gives you 5 PPE per hour back, so you should always meditate at night, not sleep. Not only is it more efficient, but it's a cool thing to brag about. I like to think that in the distant Middle-Earth-style fantasy past of Heroes Unlimited Earth, wizards picked up this trick from elves out of jealousy. There were a bunch of adventuring parties out there where the wizard is like, "Time to get our sleep before we continue on our journey, my boon companions." And the elf is like, "I do not sleep, I meditate." And the wizard is like, "Yeah, me too. Sleep is for mortals. I meditate as well." But yeah, meditation, it's a cool way to show off if you got to sleep around the rest of the party, but you don't want to use it to get your PPE back. It'll help you recharge, but it doesn't get you over your limit. So if you want to cast big spells that are beyond your reach normally, that's a non-starter. You can't like super meditate to pump yourself up. This brings us to other beings. You got to reach outside yourself to really pump yourself up with magical power. To real quick summarize the options, you can draw PPE from unaware people. You can do multiple people at a time, hit a radius out to 10 feet around you. They get a save. If they save, you only get 1d4 PPE. If they don't save, you can take up to half of their PPE. So that's an option. If someone knows and is willing to give up their PPE to you, then you can take up to 70% of it from one person or up to 50% from multiple people. But if you've got more than 10 people all giving up the PPE, you got to do some kind of ritual. Like you got to do a dance or a seance or all pray or whatever, just to like focus all the attention on you, get everybody in the proper mindset of you being awesome. This technique will be familiar to anyone who knows the Trinity Broadcasting Network, the Christian channel on TV. A little bit of singing, a little bit of oratory, big fancy building, get everybody to sway all together, and just, you know, unify people around the central message of, how cool am I? How great is my suit? Today is a special day because you've come to see me, and Jesus. So yeah, you organize something like that, and you can have up to 50% of everybody's PPE, and they contribute it freely, and nobody makes their save, so you get that big influx of PPE. Or you can do a blood sacrifice where you kill a living creature and its PPE doubles and you get to take all of it. But number one, good characters will never do this to another person. If you're principled or scrupulous, you won't even do it to animals. Let me just point out, since we were talking about this with hydrokinesis the other day, this does mean you may be in a situation where you go to see a wizard about saving the world. You meet him at the Burger King and he's there chomping on a chicken sandwich and he says, "Gee, I'd love to help you, but unfortunately my morals forbid me from killing chickens to fuel my magic, even in world-shaking circumstances. It's just not on. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Delicious chicken sandwich. What an asshole, as indeed he must be." But yeah, aside from the ethical problem, the other thing about blood sacrifices is, sure, it doubles the PPE you can get, and you can get all of it, so that's like 4 times what you could normally get from a person. But remember, you can draw from people out to like 10 feet times your level of experience, even if they don't know what the fuck is going on. And if you do like a big hand-holding kumbaya ceremony, you can reach out, I guess, an unlimited distance, as long as everybody's participating in the ritual. It's just a whole lot easier logistically to arrange for people to stand near you and sing than one person to kill on an altar. And I think the marginal difficulty just rises as you pump those numbers up. Blood sacrifice is not an infinitely scalable proposition for powering your magic. If you put an ad on Craigslist for people who want to be killed on an altar to fuel your next ritual, you may get a response or two. But as you're approaching the point where you need to kill 5, 6, 10, 15 people, putting an ad on Craigslist for like a prayer circle starts to seem like more and more of a better idea. You're going to catch smaller fish, but more of them. But speaking of fish, here's the dumbest thing on this page. Of all the ways we've talked about to gain PPE, which are very flavorful and very much in keeping with what we want the wizard to be as a play experience, right? You could start a cult to get power from people willingly. You could go leech it off of people with your googly wizard eyes and drain the magic out of them. You could go sneak into some ancient ruins where you probably shouldn't be for cultural and safety reasons, like an asshole. Commit a blood sacrifice. Or, much more efficiently, you could buy some mice. Here's the thing. As we discussed, the average person only has like 7 PPE. That means if they willingly give up their magical mojo to you in a gigantic "Ain't I Great" ceremony, you get like 3 points. That's barely better than if you just take their magical mojo and they make their save. You get like 1d4 points. That's an average of 2.5. That's a half a point less. Now, granted, if you're like, let's say, a Christian rock guy, and you draw a lot of awkward teenagers who are going to feel dumb about going to this concert in a few years, and also weird about hooking up there, but they really learned something about themselves, then yeah, they've got more PPE, so maybe you're pulling like 10 from them. if they give it up willingly. If you're an idol to Christian teens, which is like not the most common character concept, although it is perfect for an asshole. If you're just walking around among the teenagers like a creep and they get a save against you, now our average gain per teenager, since you only need like a 12 to save against magic, back down to around 5 points apiece. And you can only get so many teenagers all packed together in a place that a wizard could just wander around with his robes and beard and not get arrested. Note to self, principal of a high school would be an excellent cover slash character concept for a wizard, kind of an early series Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibe. Character should probably look like Armin Shimmerman. Putting that aside, for the typical character, doing giant rituals full of teenagers all the time is not practical, and even if it were, you're getting like 5 PPE apiece. You can only cram so many teenagers into a close area around you without making other people at the table uncomfortable at this role-playing session. My point is this. Animals have almost as much PPE as adult humans. I don't want to pre-talk this too much because it's coming up on another page, but there's a table later that talks about this. Some animals, like lions and wolves, have more PPE than a regular person, and even tiny animals, who no one cares about, like mice, have a D4. A rat has 2 D4, which is only 2 lower than an adult human. And animals are -4 to save against magic. So if you're just going to walk around among people and drain their magic at random to charge yourself up, you're much better off doing this with animals than with people. And you can get more mice in a small area than you can get people. This is so much better than other ways of charging your PPE up. Why meditate? You get 10 PPE an hour from meditating. If you go, let's say, to the zoo, to an aviary with at least 7 birds, you can get 10 PPE in one action. That's like 2 seconds, maybe, as opposed to an hour of sitting at home contemplating the universe. And that's just the aviary. Go take a walk around the whole fucking zoo. If you're not quite feeling magical, if you're not quite feeling up to snuff, go visit the zoo. Say you live in San Francisco, a great place for a wizard to live, because it's a big city with exotic neighborhoods and a lot of flaky people and a high quotient of assholes. You go to the San Francisco Zoo. There's 2,000 animals there. Assuming for a moment that every animal at the San Francisco Zoo is a mouse or a bird, because I'll do anything to simplify my math for this podcast, that zoo is a resource of about 3,000 PPE. In reality, it would be much more, quote-unquote reality. On a real wizard trip to the San Francisco Zoo, you would net much more, but, you know, for our purposes here. Remember we were talking about, like, if you can get your hands on an artifact, a whole other power category worth of magic power, you can get 160 PPE per day from that thing. That's like 107 mice. Keep 107 mice in your house, in a cage. This is a good reason to have a sanctum, among your many other reasons. The neighbors may not take kindly if you're keeping 107 mice in a small apartment. But, you know, assuming you've got a tower or a stately brownstone, keep 107 mice in one room. Go in there, sweep around the room, suck up the combined magical mojo of 107 mice. That's 160 PPE. That's as much as a fucking magical amulet gives you all day. Then release some ether into the room, knock out those mice, let them nap for 5 hours, ring the feeding bell, wake them back up, go back in, 160 more PPE. And we're throwing a lot of numbers around here that you don't have context for yet if you don't know these rules, but just keep in mind, that's 160 PPE from your 107 mice, and you can get more in 5 hours. By contrast, killing a grown-ass virgin on an altar in a blood sacrifice nets you like 42 PPE if they're a young virgin with lots of psychic potential intact, if they haven't chosen a major yet. What would you rather do every 5 hours? Visit your 107 mice or find 3 virgins at your local university? Because I went to university and I'll fucking tell you which I'd rather try to do. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the other players at the table may be comfortable with the mouse plan as well. And it's not just blood sacrifice either. I mean, because all that a cult does really is let you get 3 measly potential psychic energy from every person there. I mean, that's like a half point each better than just an animal, assuming the animal makes their save against you. Any Svengali robe-wearing Anton LaVey-looking motherfucker with a cult drawing on their combined magical mojo to power their dark rituals, any one of those guys, no better than someone who owns the same number of mice as the cult leader owns cultists. You could get a minor boost if you start killing your cult members, because you do get more PPE from killing a person than a mouse, but then again, mice are easier to restaff. It's a well-known principle of HR. So yeah, the fact that, like, owning lots of mice is by far the best way to power your magic as a wizard, much better than cults or blood sacrifice, that's the dumbest thing on this page. But that's all sustainable magic. Join me next time as we discuss the best and stupidest way to power one big spell, Nexus Point Rituals, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.